offices in Washington, D.C., and show you the details of all the shipments coming out of Qatar and coming out of Saudi Arabia, and guess who they buy their weapons from? And guess what's going on in Turkey, where we've got NATO set up there since 1950s, and we've got actually huge bases there, and we're helping out Turkey in a very big way. We even have Patriot missile systems alongside the border of Syria and Turkey. So to say that the Americans are not involved in Turkey, as well as in Jordan, as well as in Qatar, where the headquarters for both the United Kingdom and the United States is for the Middle East, that is incredibly naive or incredibly disingenuous, and I challenge Mr. Korb to a personal debate in front of a large crowd in Washington, D.C. to go over the explicit details.
Okay, gentlemen, we'll just take a quick time out and we'll get to some of our viewer comments now. Our viewers have been taking part in this discussion as well through our various social media platforms. Let's listen to some of those comments and we'll be right back with those.
I think that we're knocking on the door of World War III. It is flagrant infraction of international law of respecting sovereignty of neighboring countries, but Turkey is in fact coming to the aid of her surrogates, ISIL fighters who were trained by her. Good decision from the Turkish parliament. Anything that stops these barbaric monsters needs to be supported. Anybody who thinks any other way is the supporter of these animals. They trained ISIS. How will they fight them? Although they pretend to defend themselves against ISIS, I think their main goal is the same as US's, to topple President Assad, wondering what might come after him if they succeed with that. This war is not for ISIS. This war is going to be for President Assad and Syria, and everybody knows that, isn't it? President Erdogan is a dictator and doesn't know what he is doing. He only wants to be the leader of the Middle East.
All right, I want to pick up on one of our viewer comments, a viewer by the name of Rick Slick, who said, anything that stops these barbaric monsters needs to be supported. Anybody who thinks any other way is the supporter of these animals. I want to put that question then to Mr. Rickard. That's an argument that President Erdogan, in fact, used in the parliament, saying that anybody who stands against this quote-unquote coalition against ISIL then supports these quote-unquote monsters. How do you respond to that argument?
Well, you can't deny that that's a true fact. I mean, obviously, you know, somebody needs to work together to take out this organization. But unfortunately, the partners that have been aligned here are basically you're allowing the wolves to clean the hen house. And what you have when you're talking about the guys that are in this this region in El Hasaka, whereby they're talking about, that's the origin of the Syrian National Coalition that was really dreamed up in Qatar by a bunch of expatriate Syrians from this Kurdish-dominated region. And this particular, attack that they're talking about on these individuals has something that the YPG and the PKK have been dealing with quite some time with these mercenaries that have been coming up to that region. So this is something that they've been fighting for some time. They've been fighting against it. They were actually helping Assad at one point. And if you look at the kinds of strategic bombing that's coming out of these coalition of forces with NATO and their Persian Gulf allies, these bombings are not taking out the most strategic assets of the ISIL organization. They're really focused on Iraq around Mosul and Erbil, and they're most of the 80% of the bombings are there. Only about 20% of the bombings are in Syria, and probably less than half a dozen have been around this region that we're talking about with Kobani. Kobani's had some tanks roll into town, and then most of the bombing has really been around Raqqa and been around Aleppo. So they're not really helping out these individuals, and if they were going to help out these individuals, they should do it alongside of Assad, because Assad really needs to be, and the Syrian forces, the loyal forces to Assad, really need to be congratulated for fighting off a horrific international intervention for the last 4 years.
Okay, let me put that to Mr. Korb then. Mr. Korb, certainly I would imagine that you can understand that there is a deficit of trust here in this coalition, considering, as I mentioned earlier, many of them are blamed for at least being complicit in the very founding of ISIL. So now that they are doing the noble thing from what we can see, at least in their words, and are fighting this terrorist group, they're not yet doing it with, as Mr. Rickard there said, with the cooperation of the governments, such as the Syrian government, which has been fighting this group for many years now.
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind the United States has been criticized by Turkey for not bombing Assad, for going only after ISIL. So this idea that somehow this was our main goal, simply is not true. Now, what happened, if you go back and you take a look at it, these extremist forces led by al-Qaeda came in to Syria to take advantage of what was happening between the people who rose up legitimately, like they did in Tunisia, like they did in Egypt, to try and get basically a fair share of the political power and the economic resources. They took advantage of the fact that these people were not very well organized, took a lot of the equipment that wasn't meant for them, and captured the revolution. And so now, you people are together to stop this because people all over the world, both in Europe, the United States, the Middle East, see this as a threat that has to be dealt with. You may remember Secretary Kerry at the UN says we're even working with Iran to stop this. And yes, the majority of the attacks have been in Iraq because they asked us to go in. We're just now moving into Syria. But you can't have it both ways. If you say, well, you're out to get Assad, why didn't we just go in and bomb him? No, we didn't. We went after ISIL and its affiliated groups. And we have been bombing now up along the Turkish border.
Mr. Rickard, how do you respond to that?
Absolutely untrue. We've gone after targets in Syria that would be helpful to Assad if they were freed. The refineries, the oil assets, they would be very helpful to Assad if we were able to free up those regions. And those regions, they want to put in a no-fly zone so that even Assad can't fly there, and then they can reform their quote-unquote Syrian National Coalition forces, these FSA moderates, which, by the way, there are no FSA moderates. In fact, even the moderates themselves will say that they need 3 to 4 months to train up only 5,000 troops. And in 3 to 4 months from now, what's going to be happening is you're going to see more of these mercenaries that are being paid to go into the region, getting air cover from the United States in the regions that they operate so they can operate more freely and not be taken out by Assad's Syrian forces. So, no, I don't agree with what he's saying. They've strategically gone after assets that could easily help Assad if they were able to rid the region of these horrific mercenaries.
Okay, let me just come in here. We still have under a minute left. I do apologize, Mr. Rickard. Mr. Korb, I wanted to give you the final word, if I may. And tell us, at this time, with Turkey's involvement, the Syrian government has reacted quite negatively to any, even prospective involvement of Turkey in Syria. Do you think things are about to escalate a lot further in an unhelpful manner?
That directed to me?
Yes, it's for you.
Okay. I think Turkey has got to figure out what, they're trying to play both ends against the middle, and they've got to figure out exactly whether they're all in against ISIL, whether they really want to protect the Kurds along the border, and whether they want to join in the air campaign against ISIL, both in Iraq and in Syria. They have permission to do it. The question really is, will they do it?
Okay, we'll leave it there at that. But of course, we do appreciate both of you joining us for this edition of The Debate. That was former American intelligence linguist Mr. Scott Rickard, who was joining us live from Orlando. And we were also joined by U.S. military and foreign policy analyst Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, who had been joining us live from Washington. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate you joining us as well for this edition of The Debate. Until next time, good night.